Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
All right, here we go. This will be my favorite part of the whole show. Our interview next up with the great author Jeff Benedict. He's an author of 15 non-fictional books. And his latest book that is coming out tomorrow, LeBron, the biography on him. I can't wait to read it, hear more about it. And let's dive right into that. Jeff, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am Roman Harper. So great to meet you. You have no idea how excited I am to talk to you and really get to pick your brain. You seem like a person that loves to hear, loves to learn, and you really do a great job of this biography category, knowing that you've covered other people outside of LeBron, like Steve Young and a few others.
Thank you. Thanks for that introduction. Thanks for having me on the show. I do love it. I love this genre of biographies. Something that I started, I transitioned to biographies about 8 or 10 years ago and have stayed in that lane since then. I really made that transition with Steve, actually, when you mentioned Steve Young, and that was when I made the full-blown turn to the biography space, and I enjoy it a great deal.
Now, what is something about this LeBron book that nobody, that we wouldn't know until we read the book, knowing that LeBron's probably the most talked about athlete of all time? He's been in our right in front of our faces, and we've all watched him grow up since he was a 17, 18-year-old young man coming out of Ohio.
You're right. I think it's fair to say he's probably the most covered athlete ever, certainly in American sports and in American media, maybe in the world. And I think part of that stems from the fact that he burst on the scene so young, and from the beginning he was compared to Michael Jordan, which is kind of an unfair burden to put on a teenager. But LeBron was saddled with that when he was in high school, and we've actually, I'm sure you've seen this, there are plenty of kids who get tagged as the next Tom Brady or the next this or that, and it's a burden that ends up crushing most kids. In LeBron's case, he not only lived up to the hype that was put on him when he was a kid, he embraced it. And that's one of the things I think that's most interesting to me about him, is that his willingness to take things that are potentially really hard and intimidating and lean into them. And he started doing that as a teenager and learn things by experience. I have a chapter in the book called Higher Education. And it's sort of it's a play on words, because LeBron didn't go to college, and college is considered higher education. But the education that LeBron got in real world experience as a high school teenager was far beyond anything he could have learned from a book or from a professor. And part of that was how to deal with media.
And you know, Jeff, could we maybe talk about what LeBron did? Not only did he lean into all those things and these expectations, he exceeded every single one of them, knowing that he was donned as the king since high school. He exceeded all those things. He went to multiple champions, to conference finals, NBA finals. And he also did something that no other athlete thought was okay until LeBron did it, which is, I'm bringing my boys with me. One of my boys is going to be my agent. Another friend of mine, he's going to get his degree. He's going to be the marketing guy. And he has continued to build a team around him of all successful people now. And a lot of that has to do with LeBron standing out and how easy of a brand it is to sell LeBron James.
Yeah, I think one of the things that is really easy to overlook, but it's important to distinguish, LeBron's certainly not the first athlete to bring his friends along when they entered professional sports. What's different about LeBron from every other athlete is the way he did that. particularly how he chose those friends. And it starts with Maverick Carter, who LeBron knew since he was a child. Then they played together in high school for 1 year when Maverick was a senior, LeBron was a freshman. Maverick was like essentially like an older brother to him that year that LeBron was in high school. But LeBron chooses Maverick and his other close friends like Rich Paul and Randy Mims carefully, methodically. These were men that he met when he was a teenager, that he trusted, who've been with him throughout. And I think what's really important is that these guys were never looking to freeload off LeBron. These guys earned everything that they've achieved. Rich Paul didn't become an agent overnight. And he worked to get where he is. Maverick worked to get where he is. He went to Nike. He did an internship. He learned the ropes. And then he left that and learned new things working with LeBron. And there's been this great progression. But I think that's when you look at LeBron's inner circle, the fact that it's the same circle he formed when he's a teenager, that says, it tells us two things. It says that LeBron's really intuitive and smart about picking the people he surrounds himself with. And secondly, that there's a loyalty factor that goes both ways between LeBron and those friends, between those friends and LeBron. Those guys have never done anything to embarrass LeBron. Mm-hmm. They've never exploited their friendship or relationship with LeBron. They've earned everything they have. And I think that's a distinguishing factor between a lot of other athletes who have guys that they try to bring with them who don't add the value that LeBron's friends have added.
Now, Jeff, you just said some really great things about LeBron's loyalty, having the same circle since high school. And I think I have the same circle, so I'm going to take that as you comparing me to LeBron James. So thank you for that, Jeff Benedict. Now, let me tell you exactly why I was so excited to get to talk to you. Because I went through your bio and I, you know, looked at some of the books that you've written. I actually watched The Little Pink House and Eminent Domain. I actually watched that. That's actually on Amazon. Wow. Free plug for you. Yes, I did that over the weekend because I was getting ready for you. Another book that just immediately makes me just cringe or just stand up at attention is Pros and Cons. The Criminals Who Play in the NFL. You wrote this book in 1998. And when I read the title of this, immediately I go to the late, great Abraham Lincoln's quote by saying, I do not like this man. I must get to know him better. And that is who you are to me, Jeff Benedict. And so knowing that you wrote that in that time now, I'm not going to argue why, but I would love to know, would you ever go back into the NFL in today's time and understand that it's a different commissioner, the players are held to different accountability standards, that they are punished at a higher rate than anybody else, and the way they're looked upon, I would love to see, would you be willing to go and do another dive into, almost like a replay on this book?
That's a great question, and you're obviously going, you went way back. you've done something that very few journalists do, which is you did a lot of research for an interview, and I admire that. And you brought up something that's the first book that I published. Mm. I actually did one book about sexual assault before that, but that was the first commercial book that I published. Let's put it that way. Mm. And that was a pretty hardcore book. And Paul Tagliabue was the commissioner when I wrote that, and Paul Tagliabue went toe to toe with me in the media. It was a lot of arguments, and I'll tell you that today, Paul, I consider Paul a great friend and someone that I got to know quite well while writing The Dynasty, mm-hmm. which was my last book. And there's been I'll say this, I've learned a lot. I've matured. I've grown up as a person and as a writer. I would probably go at things a bit differently now if I were tackling that topic, because I understand a lot of things differently than I did when I was this young, kind of hungry guy who came out and was writing his first book. And so, and you're right, a lot of things have changed today in terms of how the league deals with these things. But, I'm not sure what else I can say about that, except that, I think when I got to write The Dynasty and work with the Patriots team, one of the things in that Patriots book that's also in the book you mentioned is the Christian Peter story, the player from Nebraska who was drafted by the Patriots and then promptly let go because he had had a series of cases about violence against women at the University of Nebraska when he was an All-American. And I included the story in both books because in the Patriots book, I thought it was really relevant to point out how the owner of the Patriots dealt with that. And we said the same thing in Pros and Cons 25 years ago. And so for me, it's just more sort of a nuanced approach. But look, it is what it is. I'm not saying that I wish I hadn't wrote that book. I learned a lot by doing it. And but I also I know a lot more athletes now, and I'm a little more, let's just say, aware of, you know, how I would do that differently if I did it today.
You know, Jeff, I'm glad that you wrote the book too, because I would not have been as fired up or inspired to talk to you if that would not have been out there. I'm telling you, immediately I just perked up when I hear this. Now, another thing, and I don't want to keep you too much longer, but you wrote another great book, The Mormon Way of Doing Business. Highly intriguing book right here. You talked to six billionaires, I believe, that are all Mormon. I want you to share with me and the rest of the Fine Bombers, hopefully they can listen, about some one great secret that you learned about the Mormon way of doing business, whether it's securing capital, investing, or whatever that is. What's the secret that maybe you can share with us, and maybe I can get a couple more M's in my bank account?
Well, here's one secret. I hate that title. I really do. That title was chosen by my my great editor at the time, Rick Wolf, who chose the title before I even had a book contract to write the book.
Okay. And I saw him. He was on the thing. I wasn't going to give him any credit, Jeff. I was not going to give him any credit.
I love Rick. He had an immense influence on my life. But I couldn't stand the title, but I understand the commercial reasons for using the title. But it's a terrible title. But in terms of secrets, like, I'm not sure there really is, to be honest with you. Like, I think that in that case, it was eight CEOs or chief financial officers that I followed, and they all had some common ingredients, which was their ability to sort of partition their families, their, you know, commitment to their faith, and then their hard-charging approach to business. Mm. And I just tried to focus on, like, Dave Checketts, who ran the Knicks, was one of those guys. David Neilman, who founded JetBlue Airways. They were intriguing guys. And the fact is, most of them were based in New York City, which was something else that I found interesting. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about secrets. I mean, it all comes down to, you know, really just working harder than your competitor at the end of the day.
So, Jeff, I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. And what I learned from what you just told me is it's all about the three F's for us football players, with his faith, family, and football. So the putting that focus into those things. And Jeff, I appreciate it. I hope you come back and do another writing on the NFL. I hope you do that.
Well, you're luring me.
I'm fishing. Trust me, I'm fishing. Thank you so much, man. All right, we're going to get you guys to a break. That was exciting for me. You have no idea how long I've been waiting since this weekend to talk to Jeff Benedict. We'll be back with the Paul Feinbaum Show.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
All right. We are back on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm your host for the day, Roman Harper. And that beautiful voice you just heard was Hendon Hooker. Look, every time he gets in front of a camera or in front of a team, he's only going to move up the draft boards more. I spoke on it earlier that quarterbacks are the most overdrafted position in the NFL. He will be just another one. And I don't think overdrafted is the word that I would use when I describe Hendon Hooker. It is impressive. It is cool, calm, collected, and great leadership on top of being an accurate throw of the football. All right, let's get back to the lines. We got AC all the way from Canada.
All the way, sir. How you guys doing? Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Anytime, brother. It's your show. Let's do this.
This is your show today, and Mr. Feinbaum. I miss Mr. Feinbaum, but I do appreciate you. Let's talk about your former college. My Crimson Tide. You know, your Tide, they're not going to be rolling anymore because the dynasty is officially over. Absolutely. It's not a breaking news. It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler, sir. Dynasty has died. Yes. Nick Saban would go down as one of the best of the best, but guess who he lost to? Stetson Bennett, the mailman. Oh, absolutely. And they won back-to-back national championship. And I'll be cooking on this three-peat. I'm not a dog fan, but I'm barking like a dog today because I feel like I want to bark today, Mr. Roman Harper. But I tell you what, Mr. Roman Harper, I want you to get your reaction. And matter of fact, remember you had a Texas A&M caller? Let's talk about the Texas A&M for a moment.
All right.
You can go to a store and get M&M candies more than Texas A&M's total wins against. Nobody knows. I don't even know how many championships they won.
I'm sure, AC, it would not take you that long to count how many championships they won. Look, I appreciate the enthusiasm. I hope you bark for me today because we need it with all those calls. So, all right, next we got Jim from Tuscaloosa. Welcome in, Jim.
Thank you, sir. You know what? You mind if I be honest? Be brutally honest. Brutally honest with you?
I'm only honest myself, Jim, so come on.
I've never really liked you as a guest. You were outstanding as a host of that of the show. You really are. That last segment was absolutely, you talking about impressive, that impressed me. And that was good stuff. It was informative, entertaining. It was really good. I really had to tell you that.
Jim, thank you so much, man. Hopefully I get to move up the charts just a little bit as a guest, or I'll just have to host a couple more times.
That's what you need to do because you're better than Feinbaum hosting. I'm going to be honest with you.
You said it, Jim, not me. I appreciate the compliments.
I said it.
And you're honest. And you're honest, Jim. This is honest,
and
Jim.
And by the way, Roman, I know it, too. I don't just say it. I know it. And if I could talk about ball, I could tell you about that, too. But I know that, too. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for the compliment and also your honesty, Jim. Thank you so much. Call in and take up with Paul. Tell me he needs to have me a couple more times. Thank you, Jim.
Well, I'm telling everybody he needs you to just take over. That's what he needs to do.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. I don't know if my wife's going to give me up that much, but that's fine. Bama Nick, you are on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Roman Harper, my man. Man, I followed your career all through Alabama and the pros. Man, you're the greatest. And at least you'll take my call. Feinbaum won't take my calls no more.
Hey, man, Bama Nick, it's haters everywhere we go, man. Don't let the haters get you down. You're on with Roman Harper today. You don't have to worry about Paul holding you down.
I know that's right. And you and Peter Burns are the the best host on the show when he ain't there, because y'all will take my calls. Even Ryan McGee will take my call. But let me tell you, look, Roman, I'm going to ask you a hard question now, not like these other calls. But I got to say that Jim from Tuscaloosa, he's my buddy, and he always has a great call. I love to follow up behind Jim. But let me ask you about the Cal College, and you know who I'm talking about. And old Hugh Hefner Freeze down there to come in, and what he's putting out swag. He wants to go beat Coach Saban's ass, which he put that out. You think he's going to accomplish that deed, Roman?
The biggest thing is, look, Hugh Freeze has beaten Nick Saban before when he was at Ole Miss. So
that's
Auburn,
right. I know that.
Hugh Freeze is a great fit at Auburn, and I don't think people understand that enough when I say fit. You know, Auburn, you have to have a certain fit to fit everything that they have, the expectations to play at Auburn, understanding that you're in the same state as Alabama, understanding the problems in recruiting inside of that state and how tough it is to recruit not only Alabama, but Mississippi, Florida, and
then
be able to bring
Roman,
in other people too.
I'm from Alabama.
I think he has a chance, Nick, to beat Alabama,
you know,
purely because
Bowl,
it's a home. Yes,
Bowl.
It's at home. And if it's at home and everybody's putting Auburn off to the side, that is when Auburn does their best winning right there. And so you cannot
sleep
on that.
What do you think they'll do this year? What do you think they'll finish up? There'll be another 6-7 or another 7-6?
I think eight wins for Auburn would be a great year for Auburn. And understanding that they will continue to recruit, continue to hit the transfer portal, and they want to be a team that what LSU has become the last decade, where 9-10 wins is just a normal season for them.
Come on. Roman, I heard you talk earlier. I heard you talk about the next great ones that Alabama's got to compete is LSU and Tennessee. I don't agree with you on that, Roman, now. I really don't. Have you seen Alabama's class is coming this year, and I know you have, because I know you got contacts up there with Coach Saban.
I do.
And I know you know what we're coming in this year. Our defense, we got it.
All right, well, Nick.
We got a bunch of running backs, tight ends. But the big line is, who's going to be the quarterback, Milroe or Simpson? Who do you think?
You know, I don't know that, Nick. I wish I did. And I got to get to a break right here, but I will tell you this. When it comes to me giving love to all these other teams and saying who's going to project this and who's going to be better than that, sometimes you got to do it for the TV, baby. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about, Nick. So thank you for your call. I got to get you guys to a break. I got Peanut Tillman, my guy, on the other side. I'll see you when we get back. Look how beautiful his face is. Look at that.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
All right, we are just keep rolling along here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. And I have welcoming to my next guest, one of my great friends, Charles Peanut Tillman. Look, Peanut, I've been on the show 2 times. And I've had you on this show 2 times. Welcome in, Peanut. What's good, man?
What's up, my guy? Can we just call it the Roman Hour?
Roman a couple hours? Can we just do that? That's what I'm putting out in the universe, baby.
Well, you know what? I appreciate that. Somebody else has tried to call it and make me have a takeover as well. But, you know, I'm not all about hostile takeovers. Now, if I'm voted in by the people themselves, then I'll accept the award. But I am not.
Well, damn it, I'm the people, and I vote you in. I vote you in, boss.
Thank you, boss. I appreciate that. You know, Peanut, I want to switch gears here. I want to start talk about something that not everybody gets to do a lot. And right now, it's you bringing your daughter, Talia, around on college visits. You guys have been up to Howard. You guys have been to some other, you know, could you share with our listeners about the HBCU experience and how it really changed your eyes or maybe opened you up to something different, knowing that you come from UL Lafayette?
Yeah. My daughter, she's 17. She's a junior, and she's starting to look at colleges. She's about 6 feet tall, and her basketball game has really picked up. So now I'm the dad who gets to travel with his kid and help her navigate the waters of her trying to pick a college institution. And I went to Howard, and my God, it felt like I was watching, I was in a different world, you know, that the late 80s, early 90s sitcom that came on, I think, NBC. And it took place at Hillman College, and I literally thought I went back in time and was on the Hillman College campus. And the best thing I could tell people about the HBCU experience that I had at Howard University was it felt like home. We didn't shake hands. Everyone was hugging you. And it felt like I had a bunch of extended aunties and uncles at the school and state-of-the-art facility. It was just a lot of togetherness. As they say in the Hawaiian culture, Polynesian culture, ohana, I really felt the family style of that HBCU, and I'm hoping she gets an opportunity to play for the HBCU of her choice going forward.
So, Peanut, how does this whole process happen? I understand when I was getting recruited, my parents were like, okay, Roman, it's your decision. I'm sure your parents did the same thing with you when you were getting recruited.
Yeah.
Probably not at the same rate as me, but when you were getting recruited as well.
How do
you kind of battle that, you know, not wanting her or pushing her in a certain direction as a parent yourself, knowing that you've been to college yourself and kind of been through this process?
Well, it's not hard to push her in a direction. My parents, like yours, they were the same way. They wanted me to pick my school. So I'm really just helping her pick and figure out where she wants to go. I'm asking the courses that she hasn't thought of about per diem, the cafeteria is like, they have a training table, the food, what are the hours of how do they travel, things like that.
Yeah.
She doesn't really know about that stuff. So I'm trying to get her to say, hey, these are things you got to look forward to or ask because you're going to be at this place for the next 4, possibly 5 years, and you want it to be comfortable. You want to be able to, and like, you know, you want to be able to see yourself here. And so far, you know, she's been loving what she's seeing at Howard. And yeah, man, I'm excited. This is like what you want as a dad, is to have your child recruited or taking college visits in general. So I'm loving every minute of this next phase.
You know what, Peanut, I love that, hearing that from you, because I know how much you care about being a father and how much Talia means to not only you but me as well. I'm a big fan of hers. You know that. She's just as tall as me. So it's real funny when I look at her now compared to when I first met her when she was just a young lady. All right. Now, Peanut, you and I both were just at the NFL annual meeting. It used to be called the owner's meeting, but now it's just the NFL annual meeting. And we got to sit down with some coaches, and we got to sit down with some former players. Maybe I want you to give and share with some of the viewers here just some of the inside things that we learned, not only about Coach Ron Rivera, but some of the other coaches and GMs that we actually got to talk to. Share with us.
Well, I think the one thing that I learned a lot about the coaching style is they really do their fair share of – they try to teach. It's not just about, here, I'm telling you what to do. I think coaches really take pride in – trying to learn to be better teachers. One, they read books. Two, they seek other help. Typically, when you're a head coach, you're just kind of telling people what to do and where to go and where to be, and you're leading them. But who leads head coaches? I think just because you're the head coach, it doesn't mean you know everything. Head coaches need to be led too. And the interesting thing about Coach Rivera was he said he spoke to a sports psychologist to kind of help him
keep his team engaged during that 2015 Super Bowl season. So I really found that fascinating because you don't really hear that a lot. I think most people think coaches know everything and they got this grand plan, but they also, you know, extend that hand out to receive help from other people. So I thought that was pretty cool from all the other coaches, all the coaches that we interviewed.
And so, Pino, do you think more college coaches could take more advice on that? Like, do you think that what is the biggest difference from college coaches to NFL coaches? It is that NFL coaches are maybe trying to learn more, or the college coaches not have enough time because they have to recruit. They don't have time to worry about all those other things.
I think it's the time thing, man. There's really no time to do anything in college. You know, once you're done coaching, you're out on the road and you're recruiting. NFL, slight advantage because when you're done, you know, with the season, you can take a second and you can chill. Whereas you have college scouts that go on the road for you when you are in the league. So that's an actual bonus. I love what Ron Rivera would do the night before games. He would have, you know, his, you know, quality control coach stand up in front of the entire team and have them have the whole room for about 5 or 10 minutes. And one of the things he said is that you never want to be a head coach or get your position or be the head DD coach or whatever, position coach. You want to make sure you can control a room before you even get that experience. And the thing that I noticed about Rivera, Coach Rivera, was he's always coaching his coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving them opportunities to lead, to be better, to grow. And I think that's just who he is. And I think that's awesome. That's why he's one of the best leaders I've ever met.
You know, one thing Coach Rivera always would tell us, he would always say, be where your feet are at. And I think that's so vital to everything that I kind of try and represent, and even here today, being on the Paul Feinbaum Show, hosting it by myself, it's been an amazing time. Now, Pino, before you get out, you got to tell this story. So this is in 2015, Coach Rivera, you have this prank you played on your coach, and it almost got us all yelled at and cussed at. Could you please share with the Paul Feinbaum
Show? It got us yelled at. It almost got me cut. I thought it was conduct detrimental to the team. We had just lost our first game against the Atlanta Falcons. 2015, I think we're 13-1.
14-1.
I'm sorry, 14-1. Everyone was super tight. Everyone was nervous, you know. The only thing that we proved that day by losing one game is we weren't going to be the 72 Dolphins of having a perfect NFL season. So me, being the prankster that I am, my goal in life is to keep the mood light. Don't ever take me serious. I'm not a serious guy. I go out and I buy this alligator. It's about a 3-4 foot alligator. Vicious as hell, scary. It's scarier than Jaws. And I get to work super early. I get there that morning. I put this alligator in his shower. And next thing you know, he gets there. He takes his clothes off. He sees this alligator, screams bloody murder because he, you know, scared the SHIT out of him. Throws a towel on him. I'm walking out. I see you and another teammate, Kurt Coleman. And I was like, yo, man, I just played this amazing prank on Chico. And all of a sudden, he comes out of the, you know, he's got his shoes off, his shirt's untucked, and he's marching over looking like James Edward Amo from Stand and Deliver. And he was like, Pino, get over here. And I was like, man, I thought I got cut. He was like, did you put that alligator in my shower? And for a split second, I was like, I need to lie. So I didn't, and I say, yeah, coach. But I said it like in a very cowardly voice, like, yeah, it was me. And he was like, well, god dang, that thing is funnier than you know what. Man, you got to see this thing. This thing scared the you know what out of me. Oh, my, you know. And I was like, oh, god, thank god. My joke, it was received well. And by the end of the day, you know, we were pranked. We got Josh Stroman in the DB room. I mean, we pranked some of everybody. It was a good time, man. Real good time. I'm all about jokes. That's how you got to live life, man. Well, I can find a joke in anything. I would have been the perfect Wayne. I literally believe, like, I'm like this extended cousin of the Wayne family. Because I will find humor in everything.
I've been around you enough. I totally know you're telling the truth. And you do find humor in everything today. So, Peanut Man, I appreciate you sharing that story with us. And before I get you out of here, where's the next visit going for the turnover liaison, as you like to call yourself, or the takeaway liaison?
Man, I don't know. I don't know, man. You know, I do colleges too, you know what I'm saying? So if your university, Alabama, if they want me to come down, you know what I'm saying, you want to talk to the D.C., hey, you got my number, Rome. I'm only $59.95, okay? I teach $59.95 an hour. I can teach you, and I am guaranteed to get your team SHIT turnovers, a crap load of turnovers. That's what I do, and that's what I'm about, putting in that work, baby. I'm in the 300 club, too, feeling strong right now.
Well, Peanut,
you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
We in 300, 310, baby. Let's go.
Peanut just sent me a video of bench pressing 310 pounds. He's so excited because he's never done that much. And everybody that knows me knows I do 315 every week. So thank you, Peanut. Thank you guys for always coming in. Also, thank you for not cursing this appearance. You did spell them a couple times, but you're cleaning it up. So thank you, as always, my man. I see you later.
Hey,
tell Talia good luck.
Thanks for having me on the Roman show.
You're welcome. And thank you, guys. Appreciate it, as always. I can't wait. I got more and more viewers coming in. I'm going to be back after this short break. We bringing in more of your calls. And like you all heard, Peanut Tillman is available to help your school create more turnovers. You get it from here. Call the Paul Feinbaum Show. I pass you his number.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
All right, welcome back, Feinbaumers. Oh, did I say that right? I think I did. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Roman Harper, the host of the day for the Paul Feinbaum Show. The list that we're going to be talking about next is day one breakout players in the NFL for the next year's season. Who's going to be drafted and make an impact in day one on somebody's roster? I have my own list. We got Bryce Young. I think, in my honest, humble opinion, Bryce Young will be next year's NFL Rookie of the Year offensively. Will Anderson Jr., I'm not 100% sold that he will be the number one player defensively, just because I think he has to continue to develop other pass rush routes. Anthony Richardson, I think he sits next year. Somebody is a developmental. Unless he goes to the right team, the right situation, then all of a sudden he will be thrusted into the role that I don't know if he's ready to do. Now, other people have different opinions. But, hey, the quarterback position, I understand how hard it is to play, and you have to learn how to be efficient with everything at the next level. All right, let's jump into some calls right here. We are going to go with – all right, let's go with Tom right here. Tom, you are on the air with Roman Harper on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hello.
Hello.
You there, Roman?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to say that I was wondering whether or not you got a copy of Daniel Moore's Rocky stock.
Tom, I did. I actually signed 20,000 of them when I was first coming out of school. That was my NIL. That was my first huge check. That was my first huge check. I made a nice amount of money off of that. And I probably got about 8 or 10 of them. So I still have one in my house, one at my parents' house.
Well, very cool. I have one myself. Mr. Moore gave it to me
Nice.
Because I'm the one who came up with the name.
You came up with the name Rocky Stop?
I named it, yeah.
You are a genius, Tom. It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I don't know about that. But so whenever the play happened, I looked up on the internet, I think it's New Life Art, and gave him a call and said, I don't know whether you're going to do that play, but if you do, you ought to name it Rocky Stop. And I don't know, a month or two later, I got a phone call, and they said, yeah, we're going to do it. That play was just too good. And so you put a Souser on that fullback. That was a great play.
Well, Tom, I honestly thought he ran me over. Personally,
No. Head on the ball.
It was so luck. The ball's not supposed to go that way. It was crazy. It was amazing. And honestly, it is what has allowed me to still be prevalent and relevant still at the Capstone in Tuscaloosa for all these many years. I mean, it's just really cool to actually be able to go back and say I did anything worth anything at that university with all those great players.
Well, I had moved there a couple of years earlier. And, of course, as soon as you get to Tuscaloosa, you see Daniel Moore prints everywhere.
You do.
And so, you know, it's a big deal, and it's a big honor. I'd actually had an opportunity to meet you one time at Replays on 15th Street, just right after Coach Fran hit the road. And y'all were kind of in limbo, and we talked just a minute or two about, you know, who's going to be your next coach, and you're like, I don't know.
And boy, was I wrong. If I'd have told you one, we still got two more. So it's one of those crazy things. Tom, I'm up against a break right here, man. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. We got to get out of here. I appreciate it. My next guest is a first timer here on the Fine Bomb Show, Steve Smith, my boy. I'm going to call him Smitty. You call him Agent 89.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.